You're listening to the Gold Squadron Podcast, your home for X-Wing discussion, strategy, and entertainment.
This is episode 84 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I'm your host, Dio Morales, and today I'm joined by Marcel, vote for the Jabba, Manzano.
Vote for anyone, especially Jabba.
And not right wing, not left wing, but X-Wing, William Hagwood.
Miranda Biggs, 2020.
Fantastic, guys. So thank you, everybody, who's joining us today, both live and in the future. You guys know, like, we're having this conversation now, right? Like, today is November 6th of 2018, but somebody can, like, in the future come back and listen to this conversation now. It's a little bit weird, like, just a little. Like, even just today, I was looking at our podcast stats, and there's people who are still downloading episode one. Please don't listen to episode one. It's terrible.
From the podcast?
Yeah, it's so bad.
I agree. It's terrible. It gets about 80% better when... What episode did I join?
I don't remember.
And then it gets the other, like, 20% better whenever William joined.
I agree fully.
Nice.
But yeah, it's just so funny to see, like, why are people downloading these old... Like, I think I understand. They're like, oh, I really like Gold Squadron Podcast. I want to go back and get some... Don't. It's bad. It's bad. We've gotten a lot better. So, Synchrotron Manager saying, we got to catch up. Don't catch. Like, maybe go back, like, don't go any more than, like... You know, we're in second edition.
Like, just leave 70?
Yeah.
Start at like 70.
That's a good spot. Anyway, so let's talk about some upcoming things we got going. Every Wednesday, well, most Wednesdays, again, this week, we have our League Night stream. Make sure you join us. We're going to be streaming from 5 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. Central. That's our League Night. It's more low-key. There's no commentary. There's going to be table audio. You'll hear the players talking back and forth. And this week, one thing that I've added new to our League Night setup is a really easy way for players to keep stats themselves. I know that's one thing that people have been asking for. Like, can we please have stats on the League Night streams? But, like, I'm playing. That's, like, the only time I ever get to play now is League Nights. So I don't want to be sitting there doing stats during League Night. But I figured out a way to get players to do it on their own and really quickly and fast. Yeah.
And you got the big tokens.
Yes, we got big tokens. Oh, you know what?
Big tokens, yeah.
Yes. Man, right, here they are.
I'm sure Andrew got a lot of love for those tokens, because I would like some myself.
Right here. Tokens.
How big are they? Just hold one up. Hold one up and put your, like...
Oh, they're twice... They're like a large base out there.
Here.
Something up there for reference.
For scale.
Scale, yeah.
Okay, so here...
Banana for scale.
I don't have any bananas. Okay, here. Oh, you know what? Well, I don't want to spoil that. Hold on. I got to make sure. I got to be careful what I grab off my desk.
Whoa.
Good Lord, William. If I have to see your beard every time, I'm just...
Okay.
I'm so in love.
Here is like a card protector for like a normal card size.
Okay. So that's like the regular, like, 3x4.
Yeah. And there's the token. Maybe I should show it next to a regular token. Maybe that'll give you some reference there. Never mind me. Just gonna bend over. Oh, here we go. This thing would be better. Next to a dial. It's about the size of a dial.
There we go. That's a good reference.
That's a good reference. So they're about the size of a dial. There's a shield. Yes, they are double-sided. We got charges and crits. We got all the things.
Yeah. I'm actually excited to use those.
Yeah, and it's... Currently, it's the only set that exists of Curl Paw Creative's large size tokens, and of course, people ask, "How do I buy them? How do I buy them?" Basically, Andrew, the president, CEO, and all the things of Curl Paw Creatives, and big supporter of our live streams and all the content that we do, big sponsor. He said, like, if you bother him enough, he'll make the effort to put it out there. Because the thing is, like, we talked about it. Like, he gave me a price for those tokens and then, like, actually spent the time to, like, make them. And then came back and was like, Dion. I was like, I'll take care of it, man. Let's figure it out. But, like, they cost a significant chunk more money than like regular tokens, because not only are they bigger size, like they end up actually having more waste acrylic because of the amount of space you need between tokens and things like that. Like it's not just like, oh, they're just big. Actually, there's a lot of stuff to that. But you know what? I know that people want them, so
I want them.
Yeah, like it's gonna be expensive though if you want them. Like if you bother him enough, like don't freak out when you see the price, because the price is gonna be.
I bother you enough.
It's and that's okay. You're allowed to. So anyway, join us, League Nights. Those tokens will be on display for every one of our League Night games, and of course we have them available for our premiere event streams as well. Hopefully, most players did use them at Minox, so that was cool. Next big stream event is going to be the Philadelphia System Open at PAX Unplugged. This is November 30th to December 2nd. Super excited about that. I'll be on the ground there giving you commentary on both the Friday and the Saturday event. Should be a great time. We talked to Steve yesterday about how all that's going to work, so that should be tons of fun. And before we go on to the next topic, we got to talk about a patron goal event that I'm doing. Okay, so we've been talking about it. We've been hyping it up. The fact that we met a goal. We hit that 400 patron limit, which, by the way, we're about to hit 500, like within five people. But we like crushed it.
Hit the button.
which is amazing. Thank you guys so much. But I promise. All right, we're gonna do an overseas event. I'm gonna go somewhere, and I'm announcing the winner of this. Okay, I'm today. Announcing where I'm going today. And you
today.
You know how perfect this was? I swear to you. In the mail today, I'll cover up my address. In the mail today, I got my passport.
Nice.
Finally.
Like
about time.
Like it was just like the most perfect timing. I told my wife, I said, Devin, I'm announcing today that we're going to a place. Haha, you almost thought I was gonna say. Yeah.
Oh my god.
And she goes, oh, okay, cool. And we talked about the place and things. And then she's like, I'm gonna go check the mail. I'm like, all right, cool. Getting ready for the show. And then she's like, oh, you got priority mail. Ripped it up. I'm like, oh my god, it's meant to be. Like, I'm feeling really good about the decision. I feel like it's an omen. Like, yes, you did it. All right. So
what kind of weather is it like in Brazil?
What? I don't know.
Brazil.
I don't know. I have no idea.
When are we going there again?
We're not going to Brazil. Well, not yet. So you know it's not Brazil. Don't be trolling people. Don't be trolling. You know what you just did? You just like, you raised the hope of the Brazilian X-Men community. Like,
oh my God.
And then crushed them. That's what you just did.
Brazil, I love you. Yon might not have any love for Brazil. I got you though.
Yeah. So anyway... I'm going to Poland for the European National Championship.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, thank you, Poland.
Congratulations, Poland. Basically, and I'm just going to put it out there so you guys know, like, a couple of their X-Wing people in their community reached out to me and said, Dion, listen, we got a place for you to stay. And we're going to help you pay for your plane ticket. And I was like, really? And they're like, yep, we got you. And I was like, okay, I'm there. Essentially, is how it goes down. Now, here is the cool thing. Here's the bonus with that. In a very, very, very close second is Australia. A very close second. So,
get a shrimp and barb, Mike.
I'm going to try to see if I can fit in the budget, especially with the Polish community helping me out. If I can fit in the budget to also go to Australia. Now, I have a couple of questions because I'm getting some conflicting information on dates, and the European National Championship and the Oceanic Team Championships was the one that the Australian X-Men community was wanting me to go to. They are either 1 week after each other or the same weekend. Obviously, if they're the same weekend, like I can't be in two places at once. But if they're one or after another, like, that could probably work. Like, there's some logistics to figure out. But I'm going to be reaching out to some people in both the Polish and the Australian community.
What part of Australia is it?
So I believe it is in. I don't want to say it wrong because they divided Australia into.
There's four territories, yeah. Queensland, and then where Sydney is.
But they have like six teams in there, and I don't want to say the wrong team. It's where Jaren and Travis Foss live.
Are they in the top right, Queensland? Are they by Sydney?
Bro,
Are they in the Outback?
I do not know. I do not know. Okay.
But we have maps. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't know. Trying to
Jaren, come on, you gotta teach this man.
where did that go?
I'm embarrassed.
You're embarrassed.
Come on, Dion, the American is showing.
Listen, yes, I don't want to say it wrong. Like, I think I know what it is, but they're very prideful of their, like, the name of their team in their area, and I would hate to say the wrong one and then make them upset. Like, I just don't want to.
Yeah, it'd be a real shame if you misrepresented where people were from.
Correct. Alrighty. And in the chat, one of our I'm gonna call him a regular. Synchrotron Merger MGR. Whenever I see it, I say manager. That's what I see. He's asking, what kind of dollar amount would you need to go to Australia? I was looking at tickets really quickly. Nothing's finalized, and of course I only have an estimated amount of date. I mean, it's in the, you know, $1,400 range is about what is like the total cost, and I need to crunch some numbers, you know, some final numbers with like the Polish flight and all that to see how all that goes together. So you wanted to know, so I want to let them know. Anyway, super excited about that. So hopefully I can get to both of those for sure. We're going to Poland. We'll see about Australia. And I want to remind you guys that patrons, you guys have an exclusive opportunity that, since there's a bunch of new patrons, maybe you guys didn't know, but you can ask Dion an X-Wing question while he's under the influence of heavy medication. Is it next week or week after next?
You said the 14th?
13th? That sounds right. The 16th. So not this Friday, but next Friday, the 16th. I am getting my wisdom teeth taken out, and I'm going completely under. And if you've ever watched any of the YouTube videos of people just like after that, they're like stupid. Like, right? They're doing all kinds of stuff. They're saying crazy things. And my wife has agreed to essentially interview me while under the influence of all these medications. And we're going to have a list of questions from patrons. There is a Google form that's on the Patreon website. So you can go ahead, find that. And I'm going to put it in the link of the description of this video and in the podcast description. So you can go fish that out and ask me whatever about X-Wing or Star Wars or life, I guess. We'll record it. Not going to stream it because I don't. Who knows what I'm going to say? Record it and we'll cut it together after that. Alrighty. So now we got to talk about our new patrons. We got almost this weekend alone. We almost got 50 patrons. 50
nice.
In a weekend. You guys are amazing, and that's why like. I with confidence and talking about this whole like Australia thing, like I'm pretty sure that we're gonna do it. Ryan Lunacy says do it on stream. No, I'm not gonna do it on stream. Anyway, it's our thank you to the patron section. So excuse me. I have some things to read. Here we go.
I got faith in you.
Okay. How many breaths do you think it'll take me total to do it? What's the two breaths? Two.
I think you got it. Two.
Okay. Thank you to Jonathan Young, Chris Hardham, Dan Rowe, Brandon Carey, Quentin Chan, James Brett, Tavis Trosin, Brendan McKenna, Macon Augusto Delago, Lencho Rubio, Adam
Lencho.
Felde, Jason Miller, Ryan Robinson, Mario Tahitian, Kianan Simiske, Alexander Farley, Barry Beldum, Bradley Given, Jeff Weir, Steven Weiser, Christer Lundmark, Jeff Wake, Dan Lopez, Lucas Manche, Skoki, thank you for subscribing, Carlos Machado, Laerdo, Taylor Mollyham, Hollyman, Michael Day, Andrew Nelson, Robert Hurd, Thomas Shaw, Dan Byron, my brain, Tyson Dalios, Sean Garrater, William Irby, Stephen Hopper, Justin Goering, Sean Gruber, Sean McCord, Chris Rosile, Michael Rockwell, Joshua New, Alexander Covington, David Hayes, and Charlie Hicks. Whew.
So, wait, these are new patrons?
New.
All right. While I am excited at the same time, I'm also a little disappointed.
Don't be disappointed. I'm excited. Don't be disappointed.
Lencho.
No. Don't. I love you, Lencho. Don't give him
Lencho's crap. Lencho's my dude. But Lencho, actually, most people might not know, but Gold Squadron actually is my adopted squadron.
This is true.
Original squadron was Fair Games with Lencho, mm-hmm. who is welcome aboard.
Fantastic. So thank you to all you guys. You guys are amazing. Thank you to all of our other patrons. We did a bunch of giveaways and all that stuff. I'm going to be shipping that stuff out on Thursday. Look forward to a post about that. I'm actually going to go ahead and just like post the names of everybody who got their stuff so we can cross-reference and make sure everybody gets their prizes. You guys are amazing. So let's talk about templates. I keep getting messages about templates. Currently, they're sold out. They're gone. They're all gone. But I'm trying to convince Andrew to be like, hey, can I like add some to the order, even though like it's gonna back you up a little bit. So we're gonna see. I'm gonna try to see what I can get. But I was like tallying how many orders we got and stuff like that. So there's some things I need to figure out. But I should have them soonish. I want to talk about the new alt art cards. I literally, this is just like a good mail date. Let me, this box right here. So here are the patron cards. So we have, as confirmed up there, as you can see up there, we have the, okay, well, am I linking this right? There you go. The Duchess and Cassian set right there. And where's the other one? Then we have the, where'd it go? There it goes. We have the Trans-Ocean Slaver. There we go. And then for the top level patrons, you have the full art back, right? So you have the one without the stats and stuff for all the cards. And then there's the mystery card. I have the mystery card in my hand, guys. I'm not going to show it off. I'm going to give it a little teaser, though. Just a little tease. Oh, let's see. I got to be careful how I do this.
Is that an Ewok?
I'm going to use the full art side, and I'm going to get super zoomed in. That's it. That's all you get right there. That's mm-hmm. it. That's it. One more.
Literally. No. Not enough.
That's it.
That doesn't even qualify.
That's all you... That's all you get. Yep.
Oh my god. I'm disappointed.
Oh man. That's it. That's all you get. It's a mystery card. It's so cool. You guys get it in the mail and it opens it up.
Like Christmas.
Yeah.
Actually, you should not send it to them now. You should wait 2 months.
No.
Until Christmas.
No, we'll send them something else then. So super excited about that. Let's get into content. All right, let's talk about the Minock Open. Now, before we go into all the things, I do have a story. I promised I would tell the story on stream, and I know people want to hear it. So I made a big mistake when booking my travel for the Minock Open. A huge mistake. So for whatever reason, I thought in my mind, it's like, hey, let me book this flight leaving at about 6 p.m. on Sunday. That didn't work, obviously, because we didn't finish until 7-8 o'clock p.m. California time. So really screwed that up. But here's the bigger part. I didn't realize I messed that up until Saturday. So I had to scramble for a flight. Got on the internet, did all the things, found a flight. Now this is where the craziness comes in, okay? You guys know I'm a teacher, specifically an orchestra teacher. I had to get my flight left at midnight in California, fly to Chicago. It is now 6 o'clock in the morning in Chicago. I start work in 1 hour for my morning rehearsals. I can't call off because the way my rehearsals work is that if I'm not there, I'm the person who opens the school. So if I'm not there, there's like 70 kids sitting around doing nothing and you know, all the dangers and all that stuff. So basically just like still wearing last, like the clothes I was streaming in, all the things, like I had all my bags and everything. I took an Uber to work. All right. Now here's the thing. I flew out of Midway. If you know anything about Chicago airports, we got two. We got Midway, which is in the south, and we have O'Hare in the north. I flew out of Midway. In order to get back home, the only flight was in O'Hare, was getting to O'Hare. So I took a lift from O'Hare to my job, worked all day, and then I had to take a lift from my job to Midway to get my car, and then I went from Midway and finally landed at home, completely dead inside. But worth it because it's for you guys, even though it was my mistake, but I love you guys, so it made it work. Yeah, I was super tired, right, puppet hand of Marcel? It's crazy. Anyway, so that was my craziness. We could talk about it more if you want to talk about it with more, hit me up. It was kind of crazy.
Well, it's good that it all worked out at least.
Oh yeah, it did. Alrighty, let's party here. Oops, whoops. We're going to talk about battling the meta. So we got the results. We have all these awesome stats that were put together at the Minock Open with help of Travis Johnson of the Carolina Crate and Tim Hilton and Ryan Farmer putting in lists and things like that. And we got the information. They actually published it out there. And, oh, hi, puppy. And I want to talk about first, what are the current biggest threats out there? Now, for some of you, you might be able to just rattle them off real quick, but I want to make sure that everybody knows what's out there. And we're going to talk about what are their strengths and what are their weaknesses. What are some things that we could be doing to battle them? We'll go ahead and start with the Empire because they were, if you're not aware, they were the most highly represented faction at the Minock Open. 40.6% of lists at the Minock Open were Imperial. Now, we're not going to be going into any specific lists. We're going to save that for the Minocks. They're going to be talking about that next week. They couldn't record this weekend because they were running the event. So going to respect them. We're not going to talk about lists. We're just talking about just these archetypes.
What a lazy bunch. They're not going to...
Hey man, they normally record on Sundays, I think, so I'm sure they're pretty beat.
Yeah.
Also, not only are they lazy, they don't honor the day of rest.
So mean.
All right.
Anyway, so Imperials, the biggest threats that they have right now, I think, are super, probably you guys know, if you were watching a stream, it's Whisper and Redline. Without a doubt, it's those two ships everywhere, and they are taking some very aggressive bids in order to make sure that they are the last Initiative 5 pilot moving. The deepest bid, I think, was 15 points made by Andrew Bunn, and he had both Redline and Whisper in his squad. I mean, just really, really good. What are your guys' thoughts on these pilots, these ships?
You want to go first or me? Well,
yeah, I have some things to say about Whisper. I've gotten my hands on some flight time for Phantoms. The best strategy to fight something is to put it on the board and fly it yourself to know what their kind of flight patterns are and things like that, so you're not caught off guard. But the strength of Whisper, I think, definitely comes from the juke ability, being able to decloak every time. Normally, a very powerful crew, normally Darth Vader, in a three-ship build, Sloane in a more than three-ship build. But I think Darth Vader is the key there because it works so smoothly with juke, that it is definitely something to consider. And as far as outmaneuvering it, because it is so maneuverable, you almost have to take a bigger bid or fly an I-6 to fight Whisper, which are both very expensive to do. So you're going to have to cut corners to do that. You can, as far as rolling dice against it, you need to have some way to modify your defense. Because of that juke, because of Vader, getting any sort of green token, whether it's your coordinate, 000, whatever the case may be, that comes up to be pretty huge. And actually, what I think is very interesting as almost a hard counter to this kind of Darth Vader Whisper is that IGD crew, which lets you double calculate. And when you can double calculate, Vader can only strip one, and then juke only changes one, which means you have a counter, essentially a hard counter to that entire build just by that one action and one crew member.
Marcel?
Okay. So I may repeat everything that Will just said. My excuse for that is I was just staring at the beard and not actually paying attention to any of the words coming out. I'm sorry, Will. That's what you get when you look like a young
enamorado.
Santa Claus. No, not you. Anyway, so you... Yeah, I mean, with that free evade at the start of every turn, I started doing Vassal a little bit just when I figured out how to actually put a list into Vassal. And I've been seeing like the four Whispers, or what are they called? Sigmas?
Four Phantoms?
Yeah. And really, the four Phantoms with Juke is just really the fact that these, you know, it's just that juke and free evade, and then you can focus or reposition and then end up anywhere in the board at any time. It's just crazy. And then when you have the ability to pair it with something like a Vader, which works against that juke, or something like a Sloane, which basically annihilates any ace threat, it's just crazy. And as far as Redline goes, I think Redline is not so much that it's such a great ship. It's just that it's so undercosted for what it's actually worth. I mean, for what it actually does. So I think Redline will be taken care of pretty easily. But something like a Whisper with the right crew, even if you bump up the point cost, it's really going to be it's going to be a force for a long time. Because even though you can take the points up, you can't undo the effectiveness of it. And the only thing that really, really combat that is token stacking or better initiative six ships. And right now there's a very limited number of initiative six that really can counteract this. Wedge is one, but Wedge is kind of squishy.
Yeah, so a couple of things there. So if FFG decides to adjust points, which this is something I think is really cool that we actually get to talk about this, because I think Whisper was, in the entire Minock Open, was the most used ship total. 42 lists out of 160 used Whisper. That was 64.6% of the entire Empire. Now, we get to talk about adjustments. Now, a couple of things that we can do, right? So people are calling it the cloak and choke Vader. Cloak and choke Whisper, right? Because you can do the Darth Vader and the Juke. So a couple of ideas that they can do. They can change the crew slot to a gunner slot. They can just lose the crew slot or bump the price up. So I'm going to go ahead to my favorite computer-based squad builder, yet another squad builder, the best. Open up here. I know, computer, I'm making you do 100 things. Let's go. And what's her current base cost right now? Let's
for 52.
No, for Whisper, 52.
Oh God, I was still on Redline.
Yeah, 52. So 52 points. I mean,
26.
26. 26%. We're out of first.
No. Not percent. I'm just talking about X-Week 1.0. Imagine Whisper at 26 points.
Right, yeah. So 26 first edition points, but 52 second edition points. And like, so that's roughly a quarter of your, a little bit more than a quarter of your squad. Maybe you bump it up, what? Because of the bids, right? People are bidding like crazy. Andrew was able to get down to 15 points. But because of a combination of things, maybe you bump this up 4. Is that too much? What do you guys think? But I think Whisper's going up.
Yeah, Whisper could go up to 60, to be honest with you. And still be a flyable ship. I
think
Juke.
It's a combination of, yes, I agree with you with Juke, but I think it's a combination of Whisper, Juke, and Vader, because you can still put Vader on Echo. So if you're bringing up Whisper, you got to bring up Vader as well. So are you bringing up the Ace or are you bringing up the Base? Ooh, actually, I rhymed.
Hey, look at you.
But really, are you bringing up the Ace or are you bringing up the Base? Is it Whisper or, because again, if... You know, it's very expensive financially to fly 4 Phantoms because you got to buy a couple expansion sets and you got to have all your ships from, you know, the Phantoms. So it can get pricey to have that. But 4 Phantoms with Juke, that's it. Just 4 Phantoms, Juke. No anything else.
Does that come out to 200 exactly?
Yeah, because the low pilot skill Phantoms, actually they're not even low initiative Phantoms, they're initiative 3.
Oh, then you just go put plus 1, you add 1 there.
That's gone. You put the Juke, so that's what I'm saying. It's the Base plus the Juke that is an issue. I flew I can't say bad words. I was gonna say S and giggles, but should I say poops
for,
and giggles?
For fun.
For poops and giggles. Anyway, I flew some A-wings with just Juke,
mm-hmm.
and they ended up wrecking some stuff because turns out you can't put, you know, 2 dice with a Juke if you're doing that 4 or 5 times. Damage goes through. Weird stuff, you know. So. Yeah, you just. I don't think it's a Whisper thing. I think it's a Base and some of the supporting.
Well, let's talk about Vader, right? So Vader is 14 points,
which is fine.
Okay, he's currently 14 points.
Which he's not even the most expensive Force crew either.
He's not, but like for 14 points, you are getting just like almost an auto damage or this renewable Force resource. So he's already. What we consider, like, visually, people say 14 points. Well, that's expensive. I'm getting value out of that. But the fact that he can do auto damage, I think that's a very rare thing in second edition now. Like, there's none of this auto blaster turret type of effects. I think Vader cost should be going up. Maybe not, you know, not to something like 20 or anything like that. But, I mean, maybe he hits 18. Maybe it's 17, but just making it a little more difficult to fit it in a squad, but still putting it in a spot where it could be a useful tool. And that's where over time things will balance out. But I think Vader has got to go up. And I think the other really powerful thing about the Phantom chassis, and that we saw Whisper doing, or I've seen Whisper doing quite a bit of this, the matches I've streamed, is using collision detector to just not care about things on the board. Right? That's such a powerful card. To be like, meh, it's fine. I'll just decloak over here, go to the rock, I'm behind you now, whatever, and it's fine. And by that time, the game is won. If you can get that positioning, you get to do it twice too. But anyway, that wasn't necessarily applicable too much at the Minock Open. But yeah, Whisper, very good. Another thing to work on, in game, trying to play against Whisper and building squads, if you have like a very Whisper saturated meta, is Whisper does not like to take a bunch of shots. Like if you can get rid of that evade token, she becomes a sitting duck, significantly more predictable, and just, I know it's easier said than done. You got to get rid of that evade. You know, I'm thinking you need like four ships that just point in that direction and say, all right, if you get in this area, you're going to die. Like, you have to really make sure that you're taking advantage of those opportunities that you have to shoot at her. If you're shooting one ship at a time at Whisper, it's not going to happen. Maybe even two, because if she's using the force defensively and she can still, she'll get evade, and then she has an action, she can get the focus, hit you, get another evade. Like, you need multiple ships to take down Whisper. And I think the issue why we're seeing so much Whisper is also because of the partner that she has, which is super threatening, and that's Redline. Right? Like, Redline comes, has so much just firepower. You got all this ordnance and trajectory bombs and proton bombs. Now, we wanted the Punisher to make sure that it was in second edition. Oh, it's in second edition. It is here. And because he's so cheap and he has so much firepower,
the Jumpmaster's still better.
When they're in a squad together, you have to pay attention to Redline. And then there's Whisper back there just doing her thing, just picking you apart. Let's talk about some Redline. What do you guys think?
I think it might be less Redline and more Proton Torpedo currently. There's nothing that I can think of. Maybe the Ghost, any like things with four dice.
You're crackling on me. Just jump back in.
Yeah, snap, crackle, pop.
Snap.
So crackle. You want me to talk Redline?
Yep, talk Redline while Will comes back.
Okay, let me get the beard out of my head for a second. Okay, beard. Thor doesn't have a beard, so okay, beard out. That's how you do it, right? That's how it works. Come on. Anyway, actually, I still think that Redline is a bigger problem than the other ones, because just the amount of things that Redline can do is ridiculous, with the reloading, with the amount of health that it has, with just the free target lock after any action. I mean, think about it. Free target lock after any action. Free action. Does it matter what pilot skill you are? I keep saying pilot skill.
Initiative, yeah.
Does it matter what initiative you are? No. You know why? Because I thought I was cool, and I was flying Fenrau and Dengar, initiative 6, on Vassal. Thinking like, oh, I got this. He ain't never going to target lock me, because I know what I'm doing. I know how to range control.
Oh, range control.
Yeah, I know what I'm doing. So I range control, and the first engagement of fire, I'm like, oh, I got you. I got range 3. You came in, not close enough, buddy. Sorry. And I got just at the right place where the next round, I get to decide where we are. You're going to move in. You're still going to be out of range and all good. So anyway, fast forward a bit. Turns out this man has Lieutenant Scion there, right? And Lieutenant Sai says, give an action, take an action, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm sitting in the back thinking I'm all cool because he's going to have to move forward to get his target locked, to get his action. He puts a red stop, okay? And while he puts in a red stop, Sai goes in and does a coordinate target lock. Target lock.
It would be probably coordinate focus, and then you got the free target lock.
No, no, no. Well, the one that gives you the, if I have the action, you have the action.
Lock. Yeah, it's Lieutenant Sai. But I'm guessing that he probably coordinated the focus and then used the ability to get the target lock.
Something like that.
Because Sai, anyway, Sai can't take us.
Okay. Take a target lock. Whole point is he stopped and he got a target lock on me when I thought the only way he can get a target lock is to move to get to range one, and he completely annihilated me. Horrible, horrible, horrible death. And like I said, it's just that free target lock is the problem, because you can do a 3-forward boost with a minion base and still get a target lock. You can you can target lock once and get 2 target locks. I mean, that's just nuts. Nuts on an initiative 5 base getting free target locks. Make that.
Yeah, it does work with advanced sensors as well, because it's not an action. So you could advanced sensors the focus, grab the lock, and then K turn, which is crazy strong.
Yep, it's because it's acquire a lock. It's not even do an action. It's crazy. It's so good. And so go ahead, Will. You were saying proton torpedoes. You think that's the problem?
Yeah, I've, as someone who experienced late first edition meta, I've already seen the kind of arms race that you have ships that are so maneuverable, you rarely get shots, or they have high defense, which means that the only way to counteract them is to bring more red dice than they can get green dice, which for Whisper's case, the proton torpedo is twice as many dice as she normally has. So if you can still hit 4 hits on your proton torpedo, she can still only ever block 2. And that might be, that's for Whisper, but like Luke, Wedge, anybody with 2 agility, I don't think.
There's a lot of ships with 2 agility right now. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like a Cloaked Phantom, an obstructed 3 agility ship is the only way that you could possibly block all 4 hits. And I see the kind of arms race versus defensive race kind of already starting. And I think that's why proton torpedoes are so good and why Redline is succeeding, because it's very hard to block all of that damage now. A hit or 2 hits will almost always go through if you have like focus target lock and a decent roll, that will push it through. And I think that's the key of Redline, is that he only really needs to shoot 2 of those proton torpedoes, and he's either greatly wounded a very expensive ship that you have, or has just killed it outright in those 2 shots. And that's before even like launching bombs or anything like that, which is just added on. But I think personally, the ease of shooting those proton torpedoes with the free locks and being able to put out just that raw, that 4 attack dice, that 4th attack dice, I think in second edition is exponentially better than just a 3rd attack dice. Oh, yeah. In fact, I don't, obviously the math is different, but I would still favor, I would rather have a 4 dice single mod than a 3 dice double mod against a lot of the ships in the field right now, because 3 hits might not hit things, or it does just 1 damage, which will not be enough to whittle down Whisper or even some of the other ships. I think I'm gonna just transition here, because this is going right into the next
Yeah, and I do want to give a quick stat here as you go. Proton Torpedo was by far, combining missiles and torpedoes together, the most taken ordnance at the Minock Open. I mean, there's, I'm just kind of flipping through the data here. I mean, just so many proton torpedoes, proton torpedo. Every, if you can take that torpedo, people are taking it. They've identified it as it being really good.
Yeah, I mean, I flew a Dengar recently, just for fun. And honestly, I still put a proton torpedo on it because even though I'm spending the points for punishing one, shooting the torpedo is so much worth it still. Take away the range bonus and get a fourth die in addition to it. That's a two die swing, which is very much worth it every time you can do that.
And you can use Dengar's ability with a torpedo.
Yeah, you sure can. Yeah.
Shoot me. I swear I'll shoot the torpedo at you. Shoot me.
Do it. Oh, yeah. Roll hot and just like, well, three hits is enough. I guess I'll just keep that focus or keep the target lock in case you feel like shooting back at me.
Yeah.
And we'll start emptying shoots here. So this transitions into kind of some counterplay against Whisper and Redline specifically. And I think it's why we're seeing the only true like rebel ace out there. Luke is good, but Wedge with proton torpedoes or Jan to get a fourth dice, either way. And being able to punch through so hard in just a couple shots, I think is what is countering. People are bringing Wedge to counter Whisper almost specifically. And you can almost take down a red line in two attacks as well, because you're just rolling no agility.
Now I have to address something here though, Will. So
what?
There is a big argument right now. It's a big argument, and now you could see the chat being like, whoa, stop, Wedge. Why are you saying Wedge? Now what? I think I totally understand.
I was hitting water, so if the chat was going crazy about me not being here,
it has nothing to do with you.
I did not jump out that window. Let's came for water.
Interrupting. I'm trying to make a point here. So one of the current statistics say that like so many people are bringing Wedge, but he hasn't like performed, right? So is it something about maybe the pieces around Wedge that's making him not be able to hit to make the cuts? Or is it, you know, just right now the Imperial efficiency is too good compared to like, that's something that I've been debating. Cause I see what you see. Like,
so
let me finish. He's at initiative 6, right? So he's above all of these 5s right now. He's at initiative 6. He has the possibility of being able to, you know, initiative kill things. Like, what I want to diagnose Mr. Wedge. I want to diagnose him. What's up with him?
So I got a quick point about that. So if Wedge is redline, that would make Luke Whisper. And Luke is no Whisper.
Okay. So you are right about that. And I'm going to go back to what I said 2 weeks ago, which is what the crates coined as a stealing your agency. It's all about it's all about negative impact, negative. I mean, that's the kind of world we live in, you know, negative politics perform better than positive politics, negative effects perform better than positive effects. A stealing your token from Paleb works better than giving a token from Kyle Katarn. It's just if Wedge had other pieces attached to him that were taking away focuses, that were dealing auto damage, that were giving you double stress if you killed something, Wedge would be in a different. So it is the supporting cast, because Wedge itself is an amazing ship. It's just everything around Wedge that you really pair up with Wedge makes Wedge better. But what you really need is not something that makes Wedge better. You need something that makes the opponents worse. And William, you're probably, you know, the best out of all of us in this group to be able to talk about it. In your list that you did, you know, you've done so well, and you went to Coruscant and your performance, you know, top notch, and you know, you're probably, I don't even know what you're ranked right now in Tim Hilton's list. You're probably in the top, you know, definitely in the top five. The best key or the best part of your list, what makes you best or what makes that list work, is the negative effect of the tractor beam. It's being able to move ships around, being able to control their agency, being able to reduce their agility. It's the negative impact. I guarantee you that you will be, you know, with the 44 points, you would perform almost as well replacing the free reroll, the Y-Wing. I forgot the
Drea.
Drea. Replacing Drea, who gives you the free rerolls, with another Z-95 and tugboat, if you can fit them in, then you would be getting rid of those tugboats and putting in something that gives you an extra buff. Guaranteed. You would still perform almost just as well with an extra tugboat and an extra Z-95.
I've thought about it, to be honest with you. But Drea is a double-edged sword in that list. Is that, would you like to go after the three quad jumpers and let everybody else just shoot fully modified? Or would you like to go after an 8-health Y-Wing?
Okay, I'm sorry, but you're talking psychology here, and you're talking, like, you know, giving people choices and not making the best choices.
Yeah, but yeah, the more choices they have, the more chances they make an incorrect choice.
Well, I'm gonna let you guys continue. Yeah, I think this is a good chance to maybe just transition into scum.
Okay.
Yeah.
Scum.
Well, we're starting with quad jumpers.
Yeah, we're starting with quad jumpers.
But what I'm talking about is, yes, you might be giving people different options with going after Drea versus going after the tugboats, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the negative effect of the quad jumpers, or the negative, the debuff. Let's use somebody mentioned World of Warcraft recently to me, and I was thinking buffs and debuffs. Okay, so let's talk about debuffs. So the debuff of the tugboat is much greater than the buff of Drea, especially when you amplify, you know, versus their cost, because 28 to 44.
I'll 100% agree. It was never Drea and the Z's who won games.
It was always the tugboats. It was always the debuffs.
Always the tugboats.
It's either the actual effect or the threat of the effect. But those, you know, and that's what Wedge is missing. That's what Rebels are missing. They have nothing that really takes away the other ship's ability to perform. They don't steal anything. They don't take anything. They don't give you free stress. They don't give you free red and orange tokens. And that's the problem with the Rebels.
Yeah, since you mentioned that, I did try to put together like a debuff Rebel list, and it ended up being like three U-Wings with cargo chutes. And then, like, I don't know what else to put with them. But like, I fully agree. Like, if Rebels had a trajectory, or if they had a gunboat, or any way to stress another ship, or really even a white jam would really set them apart and put them into this kind of like debuff category that you're referring to.
Hmm. Yeah, was that a question?
No.
Because you got a really quiet side. I'm like, crap! I'm supposed to answer. Right.
But the yeah, tugboats are good, and I see what you're saying. They steal your agency because it's
Chad Schaefer Patreon. Woo!
What's up? Patreon.com. Go just subscribe.
So people who are watching, who are listening in the future, they realize that you can't see the screen. But for our podcast, we have like on screen
dancing alerts. Penguins and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I updated it. That one, the Patreon one, is Chewbacca hugging Luke Skywalker.
Oh.
Show it some love there. But anyway, so as far as debuffs and scum, that is why the gun runners are so good. Because it, to be fair, I mean, you had to fly it, sure, but effectively, it's not very hard to trigger that ability to get them a tractor beam token, especially when you have two or three. It's fairly easy. I mean, there's rocks on the board. They're going to find it, a tractor beam at some point in the game. And like Imperials have Sloan, which is a very good debuff. And it's the same thing, steals your agency. You can't kill that ship because you can't be double stressed right where you're at. So you have to take a suboptimal shot. I totally understand what you're saying. And it is one of the reasons why Gunrunners are so good. I'm not really sure what they could do to balance them. They could probably use 2 points. They should probably be 15% of your list. That's probably fair. But they don't have any shields, and crits are really bad on them.
Yeah, so I think what they can do to balance them, honestly, is because they're not unbalanced when compared to Imperials, because Imperials have tools to counter. I think they're unbalanced when you really start like bulking them on against, you know, the way that everything's worked out. We don't know how Separatists or Clones or whatever, you know, Faction 5, 6, 7, 11 are going to show up. But one of the things that would help the Rebels and would help essentially keep the tugboats from being what they do is giving them like debuff counters, you know, giving them the ability, you know, either token stack a little bit, which we don't want to go down that route too much, or giving them ways to, you know, avoid negative effects or get rid of negative effects. I think, you know, for example, electronic debuff or electronic
baffle,
giving the Rebels some type of ability to that has that electronic baffle of like, no, I'm not going to let you do this to me. I think that would bring the tugboats down, because the tugboats will continue to be either you can up cost them and then you're kind of going down a slippery slope.
Yeah, but as a single ship, they're really not that great. Like in a vacuum, that 28 points for one of them, I think does make sense, because if you're tractor beaming, you don't have any actions. You're definitely getting into range one. You most likely won't take a shot if you are tractor beaming like that. So it does give them a good penalty, but you're distracting me now, Dion. anyways, yeah, I mean, because we were just talking about Juke and Proton Torpedoes, right? And both of those just slap quad jumpers so hard, because you rarely have focus tokens, and you cannot take four dice attacks, especially with crits. So I don't know. I think they're good. They're a good like B+, A- tier, right? But you need to, you got to fit into a squad, which is going to be the next thing we're talking about, which we should move on to. Yeah. Where are some of the other pilots? I assume Boba and Guri are on the top of that list, and Fen Rao.
Well, so statistically,
all the usual suspects.
Well, there's pieces that people are bringing, and there's pieces that people are being successful with. So, Boba Fett's definitely at the top of that list, right? Like he is extremely good. He was in the final of the Minot Open, final of the Gold Squadron Classic. I think it was also in the final of the Nordic Crossroads. He was at Crossroads and in Nordics, I think.
Yep.
I mean, like, sure is. Boba Fett all over the place. Extremely good ship. Just with the fact that, like, he's just so efficient for his cost, and the fact that he has so many tools to give him multiple modifiers. I mean, people have been talking about Boba Fett a lot. He's just simply identified as he is when you're trying to think about building a list and planning for a tournament. We're talking about the overall. Let's make sure we're kind of refocusing here. Battling the meta, like, he is. If you think scum, the very first thing you should think of is Boba Fett, like, because he's gonna be showing up for sure. The other piece that has been popping up more recently, it's a newer development that's growing, is Pelob. Pelob is an extremely good piece. You just take him with the title. That's fantastic piece. I mean, how much is that? It's not even all that expensive.
What he's is like that? 38, so that'd be like 50 points with title.
Done. A quarter of my list where I can steal your tokens. I can have a triple token stack, plus be able to shoot you with two or three dice and have all these modifiers and stuff like that. Like, that's so good. Absolutely so good.
You could quadruple if you stole their token and took a target lock.
There you go. I mean, it's super cheap, and people have realized, wait, more tokens are good? Let's have those. Now, I would say that the biggest weakness of Pelob is that if you can get him early before has time to really get going, and the rest of, like, if somebody hangs a hawk out to dry, you murder that thing. You murk it. Get it. Gone. Because if you have other things that hit harder around, you're going to start ignoring it. And if Pelob gets to the, I would say, mid game plus the, like, an ace piece in somebody else's list, you've probably lost. Because he's just going to continue taking your tokens while maybe half of your list is gone, and you're no longer going to be able to have the action efficiency in order and the modifications in order to take out your enemy. It's not going to happen. So Pelob is definitely on the rise for scum. So my big three right now in scum when it comes to battling the meta are quad jumpers, Boba Fett, and Pelob. Now, I know that we've seen a lot of Guri, and I think that's more because it's Guri's kind of sexy, right? Like, she does all these really cool things, the Banky barrel rolls plus outmaneuver. Like, it's really cool, but I still don't think it's necessarily meta-defining for scum right now as a whole. I mean,
I think she's their best ace. Best small base ace. But that appears to not be enough sometimes, which is weird, but the results speak for themselves on that.
Yeah. It's really for sure. So I want to take a second and talk about Boba Fett, since we're talking about, battling the meta. What do I need to do to beat Boba Fett? Like I'm trying to build a squad, and my friend constantly is flying Boba Fett. That jerk. How do I crush him?
What do I gotta do? A lot of ships. One. I think two. I think some good initiative five or initiative six ships with a bid. Because one of the things that Boba Fett relies on is being at range one and having you an arc. If you get, you think of Boba Fett almost like a variant of the way you used to think of, let's say, Fenrir. If Boba Fett is at range one, he's going to do a lot of damage, and he's going to take very little damage. Now, he's going to take more damage than the previous mentioned Fenrir range one would take, but then again, previous Fenrir wasn't shielded up and didn't have nine hull. So is it 9 or 10? I got a bunch, whatever that.
There's 6 and 4.
Okay, 10. Yeah, I mean, that's ridiculous. 6 and 4, and for a ship that gets rerolls and Who was it? Was it over there at the Minhoc or was it at the Spanish? I saw them with just IGD. So basically getting double
calculate.
Yeah, double calculate plus a focus with Han. So you get what eventually turns out to be three potential focus opportunities. So anyway, I think, yeah, so either getting initiative on it, getting higher initiative. God, I hate the initiative word. Because you get initiative with like how many points you bring in, you get initiative with what initiative with the shit. Coming in at lower points than it with an initiative 5, coming in with an initiative 6, or just coming in with enough guns to where you're gonna wear through the tokens and you're gonna wear through the rerolls, he's gonna cause a lot of damage, but he's gonna take a long time killing all your ships. I mean,
I'm gonna have to give you a counterpoint on that. To be fair, I have shot a Boba Fett. He had like 3 rerolls. Didn't matter. I had shot him on multiple occasions. I've taken 7 shots at a Boba Fett and did like minimum or maximum like 2 damage, right? Because granted, those are weaker shots, and that might be specific to the list I was flying. But actually, I think it's, in my opinion, you just have to bust through that defensive, the two defensive dice. You need to be able to get 3 hits onto them, 4 hits onto them, and if you can, what I try to do is just get behind him, so that way when he moves, he moves out of range 1 of you. And I think that's huge. Keeping him out of that range 1 is going to be the only way to keep his green dice from being rerolled into evades. It's really hard to take his like tokens away because he's getting them so frequently between like 000, IG, recon specialist, perceptive co-pilot, and Han Gunner. It's so hard to stop those modifications. And that's actually something I wanted to ask you, Dion. Did you see a Boba without Han?
No. No, right? Why would you do that?
Right? Because that's like that's basically the first 7 points you should put onto that ship.
Yeah, right.
Is Marauder Han.
Yeah, right. That's correct. I mean, it is. I'm sure there are some people who are trying it. But I will tell you that the successful Boba Fetts almost all have Han Gunner, which price on that's going up, by the way. That's happening for sure.
Oh, man, that could be 10 points easy.
It's such a good card.
We compared it to a Force user crew.
Yeah, easily. It's better. It's better.
Sure, it stresses you. You only get it right before you shoot. But those are totally fine to get a full focus token instead of 1 measly force die.
And mind you,
force point.
He's at initiative 5. And here's the thing with that, right? Being at initiative 5, if let's say I had a bigger bid and I have Boba Fett, right? And I give my opponent who also has Boba Fett initiative 5. Like, that's not even necessarily a bad thing to be either first or second. If you're second, sure, you get your whole movement shenanigans. You can diagnose and make the decision after you see your opponent move. But even going first, hey, I'm engaging first. I get my focus first. Like, there is no bad time to have Han Gunner. Like, there really isn't.
No, not at all.
Whether you're going first or second. Like, there's no downside to it. Oh, I took a stress. The greens are good. The blues are good enough on the fire spray to make it work, especially having that back arc that you don't have to always worry about turning around when you can just shoot out the back. I said shoot, right? It's kind of sound like I
shoot,
said something else.
Shoot out the back. Shoot. Yes, I heard it.
There's a little bit of a slip there.
And I think that's the hardest nut to crack on Boba is just all those tokens and modifiers. It's hard to break through them. I was having success against him because I would just take one of his agility away.
Mm.
Boom. Now you're only blocking one each round or each shot. Good for you. I hope I get two.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Yeah. When Boba Fett only has one dice, he gets a little sad for sure. Let's go on and let's talk about Rebels right now. So from what I'm seeing from the data, like just looking back all the way to the Gold Squadron Classic, you know, a popular ship for sure has been Wedge. He's been by far the most popular, but the most successful Rebel ship has been Luke Skywalker, without a shadow of a doubt. Just the combination of supernatural reflexes and being at Initiative 5 just makes him really good. You have the ability to make that decision of both either boost or barrel roll if you have the wings closed. And here's the thing that a lot of people are doing, which I think is the best. You take Luke, you keep those wings closed, you give him proton torpedo. Now you don't have to worry about flipping that card anymore for two shots. You're just like, I'm just looking for my opportunity to target lock, and got it. Boom, four dice. Boom and zoom. You shoot that proton, get out of dodge, regen if you need to, come back around at least for two shots. And if you're getting off both those proton torpedoes, most of the time you are ahead. And then the other ship, which is also on the rise, because people are realizing, wait a second, Sabine kind of has supernatural reflexes built in and has three attack dice. Also extremely good positioning piece. But I think it goes back to what we were talking about earlier with Rebels. The problem that they have, while they do have some really good positioning, they don't have the debuffs. They don't have the ability to hurt your enemy consistently in a way that's going to bring down their overall game and ability to affect your own gameplay. Like, it just doesn't, it's not there. So I think that's really what's holding them back. If we see a rise in Luke Skywalker, let's say Luke is everywhere, and he, he kind of comes to fruition. I would say that his counter is his daddy, Darth Vader. Like, I'll supernatural too, but at initiative 6, right? That's just a really good piece against Luke. And then also concentrated fire. I mean, really everything in second edition, concentrated fire is usually a good choice there. And then with Sabine, her lack of defensiveness, overall defensiveness, when it comes to like the amount of hold that she has, she can't regen. Mind you, though, some of the things people are doing with Sabine are nasty, where she can basically end up like, it's like barrel roll, evade, and something else. I don't know. And focus, yeah.
So
you have these three tokens all at once.
The combination is that her ability, if you do a barrel roll, because of how linked actions work, you can link that free barrel roll into a evade. And if you have, if you go spend the 2 points for debris gambit, if you barrel roll into range one of a rock, that's a white evade, and then you move and take your focus, which effectively makes her a 5 health ship, because the evade will essentially count as an extra shield.
Mm-hmm. It's very good. I think the weakness when it comes to building these rebel ships right now is the fact that compared to the scum and the empire, in order to get these good pieces, they cost a lot more than the other factions.
Do you think it's because rebels are honorable that they don't have any debuffs anymore? They became the honorable faction
because of the theme. I mean, that's something that FFG, you know, kind of put they were proud about, right? They're like, rebels, you know, they work together to help each other and get things done. But at least as of right now, it's not good enough. And here's the thing: we will always have a worst faction, right? Like, that's always going to be a thing. Like, everybody can't be first in line right now. At least from what we're seeing, Rebels are the competitively worst faction. And we'll see how it develops. And it could take just, you know, if the Empire and the Scum, top meta things go up in price and the Rebels come down, hey, all of a sudden you can take your your Luke, Sabine, Janors, and Z95 and get some more toys in there, all of a sudden you have some more options. Oh, I can actually fit another X-Wing instead of the Z95. You start just getting more options. We'll see how that opens up.
You had said that it was 40 Empire, 30, about 30 Scum, and about 30% Rebels.
Rebels were 28%.
So they're not too far behind. I do like how people are trying them and trying to get those combinations to work. They're just getting outclassed by the Imperials and Scum, though. It's unfortunate. Because people are still trying to fly them, which is good. Like, if it was like 10% Rebels in every tournament, there'd be a serious problem.
Yeah, I mean, but at least they're trending down, though. That's the thing. Like, Rebels are currently trending down. And if I'm looking at, you know, just like overall performance here.
I think one got into the cut.
One got into the cut. That's it. It's
so one in the top 10% or so. It was like 10 or 12% of the players got the cut.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about what we saw at the Gold Squadron. That's about what we saw at Crossroads and also Coruscant. It's about like one good list gets in to the cut, but no, not multiples, though.
Yeah. People are trying, though. Like, X-Wings were, you know, 84%. Of Rebels brought X-Wings. Like, people are trying. People who are bringing Rebels identify, like, hey, Luke is really good. You know, they want Wedge to work. And it's just not right now. So, you know, right now, those are the pieces that I think that we're seeing definitely, you know, the meta right now. So we'll just kind of do a quick synopsis. For Empire, it's Whisper and Redline. Whisper decked out with the choke and cloak. Red line with proton torpedoes and some type of Marcel, please use the mute button.
That's not me.
No, that was me.
Oh,
I'm on it.
Stop dropping stuff.
Good Lord. Come on. I'm sitting here like,
I'm hearing all this stuff and I
was going to say messaging, but I'm not messaging. I am here totally tuned in to what we were talking about. Red line and red line is overcosted.
Yeah, no, that's not what I said. Anyway, so to sum up here, Empire, you got Cloak and Choke Whisper and Proton Torpedo Trajectory Simulator Redline. For Scum, we got Boba Fett, Palab is on the rise, and quad jumpers everywhere, especially with this win at Minock. Expected to go up, more quad jumpers. And Rebels, you got Luke Skywalker and Sabine are probably their best pieces, and you're going to see a lot of Wedge out there. People are trying to make it work. So we'll see how things develop over, you know, the next couple months. The next big event is PAX Unplugged, and we'll see, you know, how all that comes together. And, you know, there is a question here. People react differently to information. And there's a lot of people who will look at what is successful. They'll do the whole net listing, right? They'll see what is successful. Hey, that's good. People have identified that that's good. That's what I'm going to play. And then there are the people who they're cooking up something a little bit different that could maybe turn the tables. And it takes one person to identify a corner of list building in a faction to realize we're not taking advantage of that. I'm going to. So I'm excited to see, you know, as these tournaments continue, what people, you know, are finding. Some people, I saw somebody in the chat saying that Whisper is low-hanging fruit. Like, hey, obviously it's cheap and it's cheap and it's good. I can move and use Vader crew. I'm just going to do that. Like, you notice one thing that we're not seeing Darth Vader pilot very much at all anymore. Because there's that question, like, why would I bring Darth Vader pilot when I can bring Darth Vader crew? Right? It's
yeah. Cloak and Choke Whisper is way better than just Supernatural Vader. In a span of a game, so much better.
Yeah. So we'll see how all that shakes out, and I'm excited to see PAX Unplugged meta, and we'll try to get some data together for that as well. Now, before we let you guys go, we got some things, new little segment here I want to do, and that is the YouTube Spotlight. If you guys know, we do have a YouTube channel where we post things. And the Minot
Open. When you're live on pre and post show sometimes, are we good? Get it fixed?
Nope. I didn't try to fix it right now.
Oh, my God.
We're recording. Anyway, we have a YouTube channel, and that's where we upload a lot of our all of our games, and we started also uploading separate like YouTube exclusive content. So again, Minot Games are up. Rounds 1 and 2 are completely available for public viewing. Round 3 is uploaded, but I have to like enter in. I gotta set it up. It should be up here literally in the next couple minutes, along with round 4. And then the other series that I'm really excited about, excuse me, is the X-Wing Quick Tips series. If you haven't watched it, we release every Monday an X-Wing Quick Tips. And this week, it's the How to Undock video. We've done 3 so far. We're talking about ones about reinforced. The first one is 0 is not the same as 1. And I got a bunch more planned. So a lot of people are liking those. Make sure you guys watch those and let me know what other topics you'd like me to cover. And Marcel, you asked a question in the comment section. I actually uploaded the wrong video. I had to re-upload. But you had asked a question like, what happens if a ship... Hello?
Goes this way? That way?
What? No, I was getting... I'm getting some weird feedback.
Will. It's not me. I think it's Will.
Will, press the mute button. We can hear you very, very anyway, softly.
So, what? No.
You're talking words.
No, I didn't have any gain. No gain.
No, but it still comes through. Okay. Like, just hit the mute button.
Right. Sorry.
I could still hear
I'm
you.
I'm trying not to distract you.
No, you're good. I don't want to hear your conversation, just in case. You never know. anyway, quick tips. Let me know. Now, Marcel, you had asked, what happens if a ship flies off the board and undocking? I'm pretty sure you don't get the chance to undock. Now, I don't have that confirmed.
I can confirm some of that. Because it should be, if you can't deploy legally, if you choose like the one in your little video there, that hard 2.
Mm. Yeah.
If that hard 2 was blocked, you don't get to deploy. That ship's dead.
Yeah, that wasn't the question. The question was, you know how the bombs in the old 1.0, when if you're like, you have a portion of the ship still on, then and you drop a bomb and it's still active.
Oh, I think I see
part of the bomb is still on. Yeah. So if the ship flies off the board and it's not Evalo, the ship flies off the board.
Can you still undock?
Can you still undock if you fly off the board?
Well, that's the timing. Wait, that's it's emergency deployment.
So emergency should allow you to. I would say should. You won't be able to shoot, and you take a face down damage card. But I would say you should. You were allowed to in first edition. So, yeah. I would say should.
Yeah, I didn't address it in the video.
Actually, a spot that I didn't think about. I haven't had a chance to watch it, but in the undocking video, did you cover emergency deployment?
Yeah.
Does it do the damage still? I don't think
it's a crit.
It's really?
One critical damage, not a face up card.
Did you cover the pup? Because that can only come out in emergency.
Right. Yeah. Also covered.
Does it take the shield then?
Yeah.
From the pup?
Yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I apologize to my opponent, who I convinced it didn't take any damage.
Yep. Yeah, it still happens. Anyway, check those videos out. They're a lot of fun to make, and people are learning a lot of stuff. So, Vader, what have you done with those plans? Will, when's our next big stream? What's happening?
Oh, it's PAX Unplugged! November 30th through December 2nd in Philadelphia. Or Philadelphia? Pennsylvania?
Yeah. Both of those together.
Both of them.
Yeah. I'll be there if you guys want to hang out and stuff after I finish commentating. Let's do that, people of Philadelphia. And yeah, so should be a bunch of fun. I've never been to PAX Unplugged, but this is the start of our System Open coverage, and we're going to be at every single System Open in the United States, every single one. That's our promise to you, as well as some other events, some hyperspace trials and things that I'm working on getting scheduled. So you can watch all of our live streams on Twitch as well as our live podcast recording. Thank you, people who have been hanging out with us tonight. It's always fun to see you guys in the chat. And don't forget that our next broadcast, like we just said, is going to be PAX Unplugged, November 30th to December 2nd. Put it in your calendar. Put it in your calendar. Do it now. And if you don't want to do that, click notifications on so you don't miss it. Make sure you like our videos and subscribe to our YouTube channel so you don't miss any of that content, whether that be replays of our live streams or things like our quick tip videos and some other content that we're going to be rolling out here soon. And last but not least, if you want to support our content and be a part of our largest group of supporters, oh my God, almost 500 people. If you want to be a part of that and get part of the sweet, sweet swag, you want the stuff in this box and all the other things, go to patreon.com/goldsquadron. I will be shipping all this stuff out soon, TM. Okay? Oh, did I just show it off? Okay, no.
Don't do the mystery card.
I almost picked up the mystery card. I almost did it. All right, guys. So thank you to all of our patrons and our bunch of new patrons who I said their name earlier. You guys are awesome. Now, before we go, Will, you got any shout-outs, anything you want to add on?
Just to you, Dion. I love watching your stream. Fantastic. What do I say? I'm proud to represent Gold Squadron because you do such amazing work.
GSP, GSP.
I'm actually gonna ditto that. You know, you brought me the beard, so that was something I was asking for a long time. So thank you, Dion, for bringing him on.
You're welcome.
But seriously, I mean, I think you got to be the hardest. I think you work harder than FFG at FFG products. I mean, that's kind of funny, but I think you actually do. You probably do more travel than FFGOP, organized play. So I mean, I know I appreciate it. You know, I know everybody at Gold Squadron appreciates it. William appreciates it. Everybody listening appreciates it. And really, like, you know, I sit here and I text and I have fun and I go get my water. But, you know, this is all to you, man, so. More power to you, man. I hope the empire keeps growing because you put in the work and you deserve it.
I'll say thank you again.
Oh, he's gonna blush. You ever seen a brown man blush? Look at him now.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I don't know how to close that up, but if you want to be part of our team, okay? If you want to be part, you want to be Team Gold Squadron. If you didn't catch it this weekend, we actually I spoiled the first sketch, the version one of our upcoming Gold Squadron podcast T-shirt. And those of you who are watching live, I'll go ahead and give you guys a sneak peek. Did you see this, Will and Marcel? Yet? Did I show this to you guys?
Yeah, we saw the sketch.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Let me. I'll go ahead and post it up. Did I show you guys with the colors? What it looks like?
Oh, I saw the full print.
No, he's nice. All right, so let me go ahead, do a little.
Had a lot of colors in it.
Some spoilers. What did I name that thing? Should have been T-shirt. No, because of course I didn't. Oh, there it is. Bam. Right there.
Oh, yeah.
Looks so good.
I thought you were talking about mystery card. No, that design looks amazing. Who would end up designing that?
It's the guy who drew our mystery card, Bartok Ferich. Yeah, so I love this design. I will say the one thing that is going to be different because we have to try to keep it in more affordable is the gray that's around will not be gray. It'll be either like a mix of like black and white and yellow. It'll be some type of mixture like that. But I'm super pumped on how it came out. He listened to my vision, and I told him like we needed some like awesome looking Y wings on there, and I wanted the logo to be front and center, because if you guys saw our old shirt, it just said it was like something black, just Gold Squadron Podcast. It was our first one that we did. And I wanted to make it spicy for you guys, make it cool. And we're definitely getting that on a flag, by the way. Like, that's happening for sure. And we'll talk about, if you guys want to order the stuff too, you guys can do that, no problem. If you want to represent the Gold Squadron, I'd be more than happy to let you guys do that. So my name's Dion Morales. And I said this backwards. For Will and Marcel, my name's Dion Morales. I love every single one of you guys. And hopefully...
Not as much as we love you.
Stop it. I'm trying to finish the show. I'm trying to finish it. At Ryan Lunacy. Yes, the flag will be for sale. We'll figure that out. This is just like concepts and things I want to do. And if you guys want them, we can figure it out. All right. Gold Squadron. Out.